WCGW, Nicholasville, The Eagle 93.3 FM and 770 AM, a Christian Broadcasting System station.
Hi, and welcome to Focus, a public affairs presentation of Christian Broadcasting System. I'm your host, Megan Jordan. I have with me Mandy. Mandy is back. She is the Vice President of External Relations with the Kentucky Blood Center. Mandy, thanks so much for being on with us again today.
Thanks for having me.
We have talked about blood donations before, but we've never really talked about it during spring break time. So there's going to be a few things that we discuss. But first, I would love if you could tell us, how your journey started with Kentucky Blood Center and what makes you so passionate about this work.
Yes, I've been very fortunate in my career to have worked for several nonprofits in the central Kentucky area, including God's Pantry Food Bank and what used to be known as Hospice of the Bluegrass, but had through those other positions had made a connection with the Kentucky Blood Center through some cause marketing partnerships we'd done. And when this job became available, I'm passionate about blood donation and really understand the value it has to the community. And so wanted to see if I could be involved and better the operation and hopefully introduce more folks to blood donation. So I've been here at KBC for 5 years now. I got about 1 year under my belt before the pandemic hit and changed everything. But we have mostly returned to normal these days and are, starting to see donors come back out in what I would say close to pre-pandemic numbers.
Now, I know that, it being your job, blood donation is something that you talk and think often about, but it's not something that, the typical person in our community would think about on a daily basis. So can you walk us through, why blood donations are important in our community and how they're used?
Yes, for sure. I think you hit the nail on the head there when you talk about, I think there's two schools of thought. People were either introduced to blood donation very early on in their lives by having probably parents and grandparents who were active blood donors. That's how I was. My mom and dad, my dad was in the military. My grandfather was in the military. It was just kind of part of what my parents did. And so I knew as soon as I became old enough, that was sort of your responsibility. But if your parents weren't active blood donors, then likely you saw that as a foreign concept and maybe a little scary. And so that is, something we have to overcome with folks. Often we don't see people become active blood donors if they don't do it in high school and college, until much later in life when someone in their family needs blood. And the causes and uses for everyday, blood needs are more common than one would think. I think a lot of people think of trauma situations, bad car accidents, or like farm machinery accidents, things that are very traumatic and use a lot of blood.
Sure.
But a lot of folks use 1 or 2 pints of blood in some common medical procedures. A lot of women lose blood during childbirth, so that often becomes something where they need to replenish their red cells after giving birth. Cancer patients use 25% of the blood supply nationwide. So when you're undergoing chemo and radiation, it really depletes your system, and often you'll need either platelets or red blood cells to kind of recoup those losses and give you that energy you need to continue fighting. So we do see a ton of blood go to, cancer patients. But there's other things, sickle cell disease that people hear about, just regular, some people experience blood loss as they get older and just need a transfusion here and there. So I tell people it's not something that anyone plans on ever needing blood, but it sure is nice to know it's on the shelves when you need it. But the only way that happens is if people are proactively donating blood when there's not a crisis.
Yeah. And knowing that it's so applicable, being used every day, how much blood is used on an average day in our community?
That can vary wildly depending on what's going on. Certainly at, our area level one trauma center is the University of Kentucky Chandler Hospital, and they see a lot of things that can take a large amount of blood pretty quickly. But we say, we need about 400 donors to donate blood with us every day to maintain the needs of the 70 plus hospitals we provide blood to. So that kind of takes into account that some people won't be able to donate on a particular day because of some reason or another. But that's what we kind of need, that amount of people to walk through our doors every day just to maintain a healthy blood supply.
Wow. I mean, when you're putting it in cold numbers like that, I mean, that's a large amount of people. Are you guys able to meet that on a consistent basis?
I would certainly say, obviously, the last 4 years, that has ebbed and flowed greatly. We are starting to get back to what I would say is a pre-pandemic normal level of blood donation, but we still have certain periods and times of the year where donations drop for different reasons. And so we try to proactively kind of reach out to people and encourage folks to come in when we know we're going to have those lulls, or do fun incentives or giveaways that will encourage folks to donate when we know donations are low, so that we can make sure we're maintaining a healthy blood supply and the hospitals aren't having to make difficult decisions.
Sure. I would imagine that holidays are probably some of those lull times, right?
For sure. You know, we all have things that keep us busy in our regular lives. I would say our number ones are holidays, when people, especially holidays where people travel greatly. So spring break is a great example of that. Most public schools here in central Kentucky, at least, are off school next week. So a lot of folks are heading to the beach or off on trips. But I also know there's a fair amount of people who aren't leaving town. So we always encourage, like, if you're going to be staying here or if you can possibly come in proactively before you take your vacation and just make sure that your donation is here and ready to be counted on, that's great. You know, the Christmas holidays, we do definitely start to see a lull because people have lots of activities, parties, things that they're going to that are just different than their normal everyday life, which then shifts blood donation kind of the back burner. But yeah, I think any time, and then summer is in general a bigger drop in donations for us that is consistent throughout the summer because of all the reasons we've mentioned here. People are traveling, people are out of their normal routines, your kids are home from school, and you know, perhaps you're having to change your routine to accommodate that, and so maybe it doesn't allow you the time to slip over and make a blood donation.
Sure. And you know, thinking about, you know, proactively getting these blood donations in ahead of time, how long can a blood donation last on a shelf, and what do you do to make sure that it stays ready to use?
That's a great question. So first of all, the really great thing is that the whole donation process from start to finish is less than an hour. You come in here, we're going to, you know, get you registered, do a mini health screening, which is great for you. We will, you know, test your pulse, your temperature, all of those things. Make sure you're suitable for donation that day. We don't want to take blood from you if you're under the weather or taking medication that might hamper your system. Once we get you all cleared to donate, we'll get you a salty snack before you donate. The actual donation process takes anywhere between 5 and 10 minutes from, you know, the time they stick you until the pint of blood has been drawn. Then we, of course, want to offer you more snacks and treats before you leave.
Give
you a nice
snacks.
Thank you item. Yes, we love it. All the little Debbies you can handle. And then we'll get you on your way. So we tell people, you know, I would say on a normal day when we don't have a big promotion going on, oftentimes that's 30 to 40 minutes, which is not, I mean, that's less time than it takes to get your teeth cleaned at the dentist.
True.
And maybe more enjoyable because I'm going to give you sugar at the end. But that is, so then once your donation is drawn here, all the donations that we collect come to Lexington for processing. We send off the tubes that we draw from your blood to get tested to our lab. In about 24 hours, we get the lab results and can release your blood. By that point, it's been separated into blood products. So we have a lab here that will take your red cells and separate them from your white cells and your plasma. That while the testing is going on, we're getting the blood ready to go, and then as soon as those test results release the blood, we can send it to a local hospital. So your blood could go from being drawn in our center to a hospital shelf in probably 36 hours. Certainly if you have a type of blood that we are always in low supply of, it goes much quicker. But once your blood is drawn and processed, we have 42 days to use that. So I tell people the math doesn't always work out for us. You can only donate blood every 56 days. That's every 8 weeks. Your blood only lasts for 42 days. So even if everyone who could donate donated it at that frequency, we would still be upside down in numbers. So that's why we tell folks it is important to donate when you're eligible, because we're already kind of, you know, your blood doesn't last as long as the donation window lasts. So we encourage folks just to make sure, just like when you leave the dentist, you make the appointment for your next cleaning. I tell people when you walk out of here, go ahead and make your appointment for 8 to 10 weeks from now and make sure you've got it on your radar so you don't forget about it and it won't be out of sight and out of mind.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Is all the blood that's donated, does it stay here locally or do you send it elsewhere as well?
You know, there are very rare occasions where in a time of a crisis in another location, we will help another community blood center with blood if they need it. But for the most part, what we're doing here is collecting blood just to supply those 70 hospitals I told you about.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't even have enough for that. You know, throughout the pandemic, we had some shortages. But, you know, we also offer what I think is kind of the coolest thing, and we were finally able to get this functioning correctly during COVID, which is when your donation leaves our building and ships to a local hospital, we'll send you a text message letting you know which hospital it went to. Obviously, we can't tell you who the patient is,
sure,
but we can at least tell you, you know, which local hospital, which for me always kind of brings that home. And the first time I got a text message, it actually went to the hospital in my hometown.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, man, you know, we tell people you could be saving the life of someone you know, but for me, I mean, I live in a small community, and it's highly likely that that blood impacted someone I know or their loved one. So it is really nice when you just get that reinforcement and that reminder that you're helping save local lives by getting that text message. And often it helps people see how quickly the blood gets used, and that really kind of brings home the need for donation.
Yeah, that's so powerful. You've mentioned, you know, having, you know, different, you know, rare blood types might get used faster. Does someone mm-hmm. need to know what their blood type is before they donate?
They absolutely don't, but it is a good way to find out your blood type. A lot of people, especially high school kids, are very curious to know what their blood type is. You will, once you've donated with us the first time, that'll appear. We have a donor portal that will show you kind of all those health screening results. We test your blood for your cholesterol level every time you donate too, which is, if that's something you're monitoring yourself, it's a nice way to be able to kind of get check-ins on that before you're due for an annual physical. But then you also find out your blood type. And people will ask, you know, what's the most needed blood type? And I always say to folks, it's yours, because we never have an abundance of anything or don't need something. Certainly, if you have O-type blood, either positive or negative, your blood does get used much quicker. O negative is the universal donor, so any blood type can receive it. And in a trauma situation where they don't know the patient's blood type but they need a transfusion, they'll transfuse O negative until they can stop and take time to type the person's blood. Then they'll obviously switch to a more suitable blood type or something that's more readily available. But that's why we'll see O negative fly off the shelves pretty quickly. You know, say a vehicle accident trauma, you could have a patient that uses 50 to 100 units of blood in a day.
Wow.
That means 50 or 100 donors of that blood type had to walk in the door to make sure that patient had enough blood.
That's a huge.
But, you know, then we consistently, yeah, it's huge. And then consistently in Kentucky, we often see shortages of A negative, but all the negative blood types are fewer people in the population have negative blood types. So it becomes more important if you have any type of negative blood that you're donating more often.
And what are the ages that you have to be? Are there age restrictions on donating?
There are. In the state of Kentucky, you can donate starting at age 16 with your parents' permission. Once you turn 17, you no longer need parent permission, and there really is no upward age limit. We do have donors well into their 80s donating blood regularly with us.
Oh, wow. So we've got, you know, about 30 seconds or so left. I'd love if you could tell us more about this Triple Crown Club enrollment that you guys have going on right now.
Yeah, so right now if you come in and donate whole blood with us between now and April 27th, we'll give you the opportunity to enroll in what we call a Triple Crown Club. And what that is if you'll make three donations, including that first one where you enroll, at specific time periods throughout the summer, what we call critical need periods, then we will you'll get a KBC thank you item at every donation. But then at the end of the club, if you complete all three donations, we're giving away a really nice 40-ounce tumbler cup with our KBC logo on it. So it's a kind of an extra bonus item for folks, but those donation windows are planned during leading into the 4th of July and into Labor Day weekend. So we kind of tell you when we need you to come back and ask you to wait until those times to donate, and then we'll remind you and send emails and postcards to make sure you get back in here, and then it helps us make sure there's a healthy blood supply over those holidays.
Awesome. Well, you heard it here, folks. We've got prizes that you could register for. You've got free snacks. No reason not to donate. Mandy, we are just about out of time, but thank you so much for being on with us today. I've been your host, Megan Jordan, and this is Focus, a public affairs presentation of Christian Broadcasting System.
From the Weather Bug Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Jim Minaldi. For this morning, a mainly clear sky, sunny today with a high of 62. It's going to be mostly cloudy tonight, low 38. Mixed clouds and sunshine for Sunday, high 60. Mainly clear and chilly Sunday night, the low 36. Monday, a sunny day, high 66. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high 70. Wednesday, cloud, sun, some showers, high 66. That's your forecast from the Weather Bug Center at 770 AM and 93.3 FM, The Eagle.